Welcome to On the Green Couch, brought to you by the UNISI Primary Support Centre.
Welcome back to On the Green Couch. I'm your host, Larika Olofsson. A bit of a different topic today, I would say. Not one that we often discuss, and that is general conditioning versus sport-specific conditioning. And here to help me unpack and understand today's topic is Adrian Nall. Adrian is an enthusiastic and energetic biokineticist by day and a passionate barista by night. Adrian, you have your own coffee business.
Yeah, that's correct. Nothing like a good caffeine fix to get you going for the day.
Yes, a nice strong cup of coffee, because sometimes adulting is just too much. Adrian, you know, I can talk about coffee forever and a day, but the reason why I got you here today on our green couch is to lean into your expertise as a bio.
Yep.
And I'm first going to start with the most difficult question, in my opinion, and a one-liner if you can. What is a biokineticist?
Yeah, very good question, Larika. I think maybe we can just use, I hope I got my terminology correct. So it's actually derivative of bio, which is obviously life. And then kinetic, you can accredit that to aesthetics and movement. So it's actually, we want to just call it, you know, life through movement. And what we actually then do is it's more corrective exercise, bring it into perspective of an exercise sense.
Okay, I love that, life through movement. And we move the whole time, hey?
That's so, it.
Yes, absolutely love that analogy. So looking at today's topic, general conditioning versus sport-specific conditioning, and you spoke a little bit of doing it correctly. How do we start, or where do we begin? Is it a combination of the two? Yeah, how do we start with this?
Yeah, so how much time do we have for for this?
Not forever and a day.
Okay. No, I think, yeah, it depends on which scene we're addressing. If I make it practical and just look at the setup of my practice, a lot of people are there for general conditioning. So then what we basically do is we'll use the term general. Okay, so we'll look at basic functionality. We all need some stability. We all need a little bit of strength, and we all need a little bit of endurance, you know, just to get through your day-to-day routine. I mean, I'm sure everyone can agree, running around after the kids, socializing, etc. We all need some form of endurance to keep up with the fast pace of life. So we'll address basically the patient's needs according to stability. So looking at stabilizer muscles, that's the general side, and then doing a little bit of strengthening. You know, that's sort of like building blocks. We've got the stability muscles. On top of that, we'll build a bit of strength, and then we'll look at the endurance component as well, so we can keep up, you know, the day to day. And then looking at sport-specific, so that obviously, again, it's almost self-explanatory. We use the same formula, but then obviously we're going to apply different techniques, different movements, different tempos, and obviously resistances, so that we can try and simulate the movement pattern in the specific sport as closely as possible. So obviously we can't get that perfect in a gym setting. But, you know, if you're doing something, I don't know, it's going to be difficult to paint the picture verbally. But if you, let's use a rugby line out, for example, you got to pick up somebody above your head. So then you'll obviously use a bar and do like a squat with a press at the end, so that we can just try and simulate that movement. So that's when we start talking about sport-specific conditioning, try and simulate the movement with the building blocks of general conditioning.
And I think, you know, if I think of the kids that we have in school, you know, general conditioning is important, because first of all, they need to have that endurance to sit the whole time, or to walk up and down the stairs, and, you know, the stability with carrying that bag. You know, it's a heavy bag. And then when they get a little bit older, they get into their sport, and I almost feel like you need that general starting point before just jumping into the sport-specific conditioning. But that's just in my opinion. But it is a bit of both.
Yeah.
They go almost hand in hand.
Sure.
Adrian, I don't know if you can remember, but I want to bring this in. It's just growing pains and injury prevention. Growing pains for me, I can remember it so clearly. Clearly, it was a terrible time. Waking up at night, aching legs, and there's not much you can do.
Yeah.
But it is a reality for our younger kids. And how do we manage those growing pains and not ending up with an injury? What do we do as parents?
Yeah, another good one, especially for the teens or the youngsters. No, for sure. I remember mine as well. And it seems to be across the board the same sort of story. You know, it's usually a bit of pain around the front area of the knee, you know, just under the kneecap, basically. And, you know, thinking back to when I was a youngster as well, it makes sense now why there were certain periods of excruciating pain. And it's all to do with load management. So you mentioned now, you know, the kids with the heavy school bags and stairs, and they've got a busy schedule as well. And then still you got the afternoon or the extramural activities that they've got to take part in. So it's a lot of load and stress that they've got to absorb in their young bones. And unfortunately, the only real cure there is rest. So, you know, rest from main activities, but we all know that's not going to happen. So how do you tell a child, you know, to sit still? So obviously what from a professional point of view, we'd look at trying to just deload the joints a little bit in the, let's say, the extramural activities, because that's where we have a bit of control. You know, we can maybe educate coaches and you know, get them to understand, you know, little Johnny is not just being a baby. He is in pain because it affects the different genders and the different kids in varying intensities. I mean, some go through life without any growing pains, and others, they have a lot more pain that they go through. So it's, you know, where we can manage load, I think that's one of the things. And then, so from a coach's perspective, is maybe to educate the coaches to help mm-hmm. them to have an understanding of why they can't necessarily keep up with the pace, and then let that filter through to the parents as well, and let them understand that, you know, it's okay if they do maybe miss a few practices or maybe even a season, you know, close to the end of especially primary school, because it usually affects the teens between 12 and about 14. Mm-hmm. Some start a bit earlier, about 10. So yeah, I mean, if they still got a whole career ahead of them, why try and push them now into a serious injury? Because what eventually happens is we call it bone spurs. So when that's basically an excess amount of calcium that starts forming on the bone, so just under the kneecap, around there on the tibia, eventually there'll be a thickening of that tibia, and then they need to go for surgery to remove that, because later on in life, mm-hmm. you know, young, early 20s, it's going to start causing a lot of extra pain. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, the main thing there would be load management and just educating parents and coaches in the same line to tell them, you know, it is okay to let them, you know, have a rest week or whatever, and maybe supplement that with a bit of stability in the gym, or just educate the coaches on how to approach the training side of growing pains.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we don't think of those things, and obviously now after COVID, we want everything, and they must do all the sports, and they need to catch up the whole time, and we forget that they're still going through this developmental phase where growing pains, it is a thing, and we don't want them to get injured. And I'm now thinking of two things. I always say rest well to run well.
Yeah.
You need – resting is also part of your training. You can't just train. You need to rest as well.
Yeah.
And I think as adults, we forget what these kids need to do. Again, I'm just bringing it back to their daily activity. They go up and down the stairs. They're constantly on their feet.
Sure.
And I wonder how many adults out there can actually – do a primary school's day, a learner's day, you know. Will you be able to, for 6 hours, go up and down a stairs, sit, get back up, carry your bag? So it's not just an isolated thing. It's really, we need to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, and that's basically what I said. You know, we have control over, you know, the extramural area and, you know, what kids are doing over weekends. But, I mean, they've got to get through their school day. So that's something that's sort of out of our hands. They're going to change classes. They're going to be playing on the playgrounds before, during, and after school. So there's a lot of a lot of activity on their feet, which we can't really manage. You're not going to tell a child to sit still and they're actually going to listen to you. But we can manage their activity during their formal practice or their training sessions, and also what they do over weekends.
Definitely. There is still a sense of control. If I can think, you still have to make those decisions as a coach, what your athletes do, and making sure that they recover well. I think that is one of the biggest things for me. Adrian, what would you say is the most important takeaway for parents regarding today's topic?
I'm going to get into that now, just really to divert back to a part in the sports specific conditioning. So we've got a term which we call periodization, and I think that's where we can maybe educate coaches and their parents as well, is to say that rest doesn't necessarily mean, you know, they're regressing in their activity. Mm. It's just part of the long-term plan. So if we want them to peak at the right time, you know, we do incorporate rest. And that is part of, you know, season planning, sports-specific conditioning. So, yeah, maybe that could be part of the takeaway is to say, you know, look, we obviously want our kids to be active. We want them to participate in sport and do well. But there are definitely areas of expertise and things have changed so much that it's not just, if you want to be a cyclist, it doesn't mean you just get on your bike and you cycle all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, there is definitely a space for conditioning and resting as well. I mean, it's maybe a little bit advanced now, but if you think of one of the buzzwords in the sports field now is zone training, specifically zone 2, which is very, very low intensity.
Yeah, I'm tired of zone 2 training.
But it's effective because in essence, you know, we want to keep going for as long as possible and try and stay injury free. Sorry, that might be a bit of a big diversion there for the crowd. But yeah, I think one of the takeaways is to sort of, you know, understand that yes, that there is a need for a child to play and just to be part of that general conditioning. But when it comes to sports-specific conditioning and load management, it's good to maybe just get the advice of a professional. They don't always have to use services of us as biokineticists because obviously there are lots of costs involved. But I think something like, you know, training or education sessions with both coaches, athletes, and parents, so that everyone can understand there are phases of growth pain, but we can work around that. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be completely taken off the field or rest from the activity. We can definitely, through educating, you know, the whole system, we can keep the child not pain-free, but, you know, just try and lower the pain, but keep them active and part of the sporting scene.
Yeah, I think one last thing that I would like to add, and when it comes to, you know, I mentioned zone 2, but basically we're saying the longevity.
Yeah.
We want kids to be able, or even myself, you want to be able to run and do sports for many years. And that's why we need to manage our children to the best of our abilities, and that's through educating and seeking professional advice, like yourself, or just having a chat with someone that is busy working with these things. Don't just doctor Google everything.
Yeah.
Go and speak to someone, because at the end of the day, you want your kid to be able to do it for as long as they possibly can, not 100%. Just until they 30. There's still a lot of spring in our steps after 30.
100%. Yeah, no, I think that pretty much nails it. Yeah.
Adrian, thank you so much for your time. It was such a pleasure to have you on our green couch. I'm sure this was a very valuable conversation for the parents out there, and it's something that they also needed to hear. We don't always talk about this. It's always academics, emotions, and that type of stuff. We kind of brush away the conditioning side of things. So thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
It's a great pleasure. I'm glad I could have sat on the green couch.